I hope everyone had a wonderful Chagim and inspirational Chagim. Let me start with a little story. They tell the story of a non-Jewish peasant in Tsarist Russia who converted to Judaism within a Hasidic community, and he very much enjoyed all the parties and celebrations that existed. He converted around Rosh Chodesh Shvat, so if you just follow the calendar, that is fairly festive. Every Rosh Chodesh, there's a big party. Then 2 weeks later is Tu B'Shvat. Then 2 weeks later is Rosh Chodesh Adar. Then 2 weeks later is Purim. And then 2 weeks later is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. 2 weeks later is Pesach. And of course, there are Shabbases in between and Yahrzeits, celebrations, a lot of drinking, a lot of eating, a lot of festivals. So he tells his buddy Ivan that you got to join this religion. This religion is so fantastic. And it took Ivan a little bit of time to get a giyur. I'm not going to raise the question which beis din converted him. But he converted shortly after Shavuos. Now that's a bit of a dry time. Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, there was no big celebration because it's already the month of the 3 weeks. And then there's Shavuos or B'Tammuz, the 3 weeks, and then the 9 days, and then Tisha B'Av. So he really is not experiencing any of these joyous occasions. So he goes over to his friends and he said, I thought you told me this is a religion that is filled with parties and filled with celebrations. And as soon as I join, all I have are fast days and no music and no weddings, no meat. What's going on? So the first guy scratched his head and said, I really don't know. Ever since you joined, it's been downhill all the way. Now, the truth of the matter is, all of us know that that is the nature of the Jewish calendar. The Jewish calendar calls upon us to experience the full range of all the emotional states that a human being can go through. There is sadness, there is introspection, there is joy, there is singing, there is crying. As we read in Koheles, Shlomo HaMelech's meditation on life, La Kol Zman, there is a time for everything in life, a time to laugh, a time to cry. And in many, many ways, if one cannot experience the fullness of all of these different emotions, then by definition, they are only a partial person. You know, some people, as strange as it may sound, there are people, maybe enjoy is not the right word, but on some level, they actually enjoy Tisha B'Av. It's a time of reflection. They may enjoy Tisha B'Av more than Simchat Torah. And that is not as crazy as it may sound, because they want to think about life and think about even the tragic dimensions of life. They prefer it much more than dancing around on tables. Other people like Simchas Torah, but as Rav Huttner used to say, if you can't rejoice with the Torah on Simchas Torah, you can't really cry on Tisha B'Av. Because what are you mourning? I mean, you mourn the loss of something that is very dear and special to you. If the Torah is not so dear and special to you, then you can't really cry over it. And the other way around, only the person who can cry on Tisha B'Av can experience the joy of Simchas Torah. So as a result, the concept of the Jewish cycle of time as incorporating all of these emotions has a very deep pedagogical lesson. And that lesson is you have to serve God with the totality of human experience. You don't just serve God by your default setting, meaning some people have a natural setting of being joyous, and some people have a natural setting of being more introspective. But God is saying to both groups of people, you have to move out of your comfort zone and learn how to embrace the other modality of serving God. Now, what is interesting is that all of these almost contradictory emotions do not only exist over the course of a year, but we actually experience them in little more than 3 weeks within a single month of Tishrei. If you consider, for example, the mood of Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah itself is somewhat schizophrenic. Rosh Hashanah, on one hand, is a Yom Tov in which there's a joy. On the other hand, it's introspective. There is fear. There is trepidation. We talk about who will live and who will die, and even the angels in heaven shake and quake when they contemplate the awesomeness of God's judgments. And then the 10 days of repentance and Yom Kippur, which are days of Eima, Bapachad, fear, trepidation, and then we have the joy of Sukkos, and then the culmination of that joy on Shmini Atzeret, Simchas Torah. We go through all of these modes within 3 weeks, because keep in mind that because Tishrei is the first month of the year, it sets the template, the pattern for the whole year. And in this year, there are going to be ups and downs and different types of emotions, and God wants us to be more gaul, to become habituated into serving God with all of those different types of emotions and feelings. So if the month of Tishrei felt like a roller coaster, up, down, up, down, up, down, that's exactly what it means to represent, because life itself is a roller coaster. And as a result, we need to be able to have the tools in our emotional and spiritual palate to be able to serve God no matter what befalls us in the course of the year. So that's one thought I wanted to share with you. A second thought is this, an interesting story. We know that on Simchat Torah Shmini Atzeret, in Eretz Yisrael, it's all the same day. Of course, in Eretz Yisrael, that's also an interesting dichotomy, because we only have the eighth day, Shmini Atzeret, we don't have an extra day. So as a result, the day that we have Hakafos, the joyous Hakafos, is also the day that we have Yizkor. Now, that's an interesting dichotomy. You know, in Chutz Laaretz, kind of Yizkor, serious, somber, reflective, Hakafos, unrestrained joy. In Eretz Yisrael, we put it all together. That again highlights the idea that, you know, joy and sadness, reflection, and singing all come together. They all come together in one harmonious whole. So we know that the two greatest honors that are given out on Simchat Torah is one aliyah is called Chatan Torah. That's the one that is given the honor to finish the Torah. And the other aliyah is Chasan Bereishis, the one that is given the honor of starting the Torah again from the beginning of Bereishis. In the non-Hasidic world, in the Litvish world, the Chasan Torah is regarded as the higher honor. In the Hasidic world, different Hasidim have differently. Sometimes the Rebbe will be given Chasan Bereishis. But generally speaking, Chasan Torah is the number one guy, and Chasan Bereishis is the number two guy, or the highest bidder, depending on how the shul is giving it out. So there's a beautiful story in connection with this, that there was a yeshiva where a bunch of boys were not participating in the hakafos and the dancing. So the Rosh Yeshiva went over to them and said, "Why do you not participate in the joy over the Torah?" So the boys responded very honestly. They said, "You know, we feel we're not worthy. We feel we have not learned that much. We have not been so connected to the Torah. Who are we to all of a sudden rejoice and dance with the Torah if we have not been so connected to it? We do not deserve those hakafos." So the Rebbe gave the following mashal. We have Chasan Torah, we have Chasan Bereishis. Chasan Torah is given to the greatest, let's say, Talmud Chacham of the Makam, of the Rav, or the Rosh Yeshiva. Chasan Bereishis can be given to anybody. That's what I like to say. In Or Sameach, Rav Schiller got Chasan Torah, and I got Chasan Bereishis. So you can indeed give it to anybody, right? Doesn't make a difference. So the thing is that, what is the difference? Why is Chasan Torah such a great honor, and Chasan Bereishis we can give it to anybody? He says the following: Chasan Torah is a celebration of accomplishment. You finish the Torah. It's a celebration of what was done. So that we give to the person who accomplished a lot, who learned a lot, because he is able to celebrate all the wonderful accomplishments of the last year. Chasan Bereishis is not a celebration of what was accomplished. It's a celebration of promise, of potential, of opportunity. So the Rosh Yeshiva told the boys, even if you cannot yet dance as a Chasan Torah, glorifying in your accomplishments. You can dance as a chasen brachos, in which you celebrate the potential of the new year. Yeah. Well, it's interesting. The Sfas Emes actually says that when you make the Shechiyanu for Shmini Atzeres, when you lit candles or said Kiddush, you should have kavana that it's also going on the starting of the Torah. So Sfas Emes actually says such an idea. So that's an important notion, that this is a new year, and a new year has new potential. And in many ways, we don't always see that, because in many ways, you know, whatever issues we had on the 29th of Elul going into Rosh Hashanah, most of us still have the identical issues. Now that it's whatever it is, almost Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, it's almost like the Yomim Tovim were an interlude, a little break, and now we're back to regular life. But that's not really the correct way of viewing it, although it's a very natural way of viewing it. We have to understand there are new powers in the world, and that can open up new potentialities within us. So in this connection, let me start off, as we do, with a comment of the Vilna Gaon in Mishlei. We always have to connect it to Mishlei. And here, the pasuk I want to bring is a pasuk that is, at least if you say Eish Yischiel Friday night, is a very familiar verse, because it is from the Eish Yischiel, which is, of course, the last perek in Mishlei. And the Eish Yischiel is Shlomo HaMelech's tribute to the woman of valor. The Medrash tells us it is not a tribute to his wives, per se. It is actually a tribute to his mother, Bathsheba. Shlomo HaMelech had problems with his wives, but he always looked at his mother, Bathsheba, as the ideal woman. And, of course, we also know that metaphorically, the woman of valor has many other references besides the wife of the home. It refers to the Torah. It could refer to the Jewish people. But when it describes the Eish Yischiel, and it's an alphabetical acrostic, as you know, Aleph to Tav. So in the Ayin, it says, Oz Fahadar Levusha. Her garment is Oz, is strength, Fahadar, and beauty. Again, simple pshat is, this is actually an interesting comment on femininity, that strength and kind of a softness can go together. Right? Sometimes we associate strength with kind of being gruff and pushy and non-open. Hadar, beauty, is not referring to physical beauty so much, but it's referring to more of a gentleness and a receptivity. And this idea of kind of the ideal combination of inner strength and yet kind of a beauty, a softness and a gentility, that is her garment. Vatischak liyom acharon, and she will laugh when the last day comes. And here the Medrash comments, and this is not far from pshat at all. This might actually be even the pashut pshat, that yom acharon is the day of death. Again, I don't want to depress anybody. The day of death is coming. You know, life is a terminal condition. As the saying goes, nobody gets out of here alive. And a person who lives a virtuous, good life, again, obviously there is sadness in leaving the world. I mean, nobody really wants to leave the world. But they can, in a sense, laugh at death because they know that Hashem will reward them for all of the good that they've done, and their influence will continue to survive to all of the generations. And therefore, she could even laugh when that last day comes because she lived such a good and virtuous life. So that is Pashut Pshat, right? The Pashut Pshat is, it's referring to a woman who combines strength and gentleness, and because of the goodness of her life, she could even face death with no regrets and no sadness. She could laugh, as it were, because she will be meeting Hashem. But the Vilna Gaon, and again, the Pashut Pshat is not an inferior Pshat. The Pashut Pshat is a very meaningful Pshat, and it is not replaced by anything else. But the Vilna Gaon offers metaphorical explanations in addition to this. And you may recall, we looked at Eish Yischiel a real long time ago, a few years ago, But those of you that have a good memory will remember, or you may know generally, that the Vilna Gaon's Mahalech, again, based on a Medrash, is that the Eishes Chayil is describing the Torah. And indeed, even the word Chayil, valor, Chayil Begematria is 48, and it refers to Pirkei Avos's reference that there are 48 qualities that one needs to be connected to the Torah, different midot that you need. And he gives two explanations for Oz Vahadar Levusha. One is that Oz, now I'll tell you the phrase that he uses, then I'll give you what I think is the explanation. He says, Oz, strength, is a reference to Torah itself. I'll come back to it. And Hadar, beauty, is what is called Chochmat HaTorah. The Vilna Gaon differentiates between Torah and the wisdom of Torah. And he makes the point that Torah is the acquisition of factual knowledge. There's a lot to learn. There's Chumash and Tanakh and Mishnah and Gemara and Halacha. And a person has to immerse themselves, really many, many years, to acquire this knowledge. But then there is something that goes beyond the knowledge. There is something that's kind of an inner radiance that when you're immersed in Torah, it gives a person a certain inner wisdom, an understanding of life, an intuition, which may go beyond. It is greater than the sum of the particular facts. Someone once asked the Chazon Ish, that when the Chazon Ish declared back in the late 40s, early 50s, and again, I'm not here, I don't want to address the particular issue, but it was about Giyus Habanot, about drafting women into the army, which Ben-Gurion wanted to make compulsory. So the Chazon Ish said, Yehareg v'yal yavor, a woman or her parents must be willing to die before they would allow the drafting of a woman into the army. Again, I'm not going to address the particular issue, but there is a point in the story I want to mention. Somebody asked the Chazon Ish, could you point to me the place in the Shulchan Aruch? Now, it does say that before a sexual offense is committed, a person must give their lives. You know, but normally, there, you know, you don't give your life for, you know, every violation. Even if somebody said, violate Shabbos or I'll kill you. The halacha is you violate Shabbos. So where in the Shulchan Aruch does it say that Giyus HaBanot would be Yehareg V'yal Yavor? And the Chazon Ish answered, it is in the fifth portion of the Shulchan Aruch. Now, the Shulchan Aruch only has four chalakim. There is no fifth chalak of the Shulchan Aruch. But the Chazon Ish is alluding to an idea, which again, in more modern circles, is not accepted as a valid concept. And that is, a person that is very, very, who has devoted his life to learning Torah, has a certain connection with Hashem. There's like a Ruach HaKodesh, there's an aura, in which even if they cannot locate their particular feeling in a specific chapter and verse, it is the totality of their connection to Hashem that causes them to view the world in a certain way. And this, I would submit, is what the Vilna Gaon refers to as the Chochmas HaTorah, a certain beauty, a certain radiance that goes beyond information and data. See, sometimes in the world, people look at a Talmud Chacham the same way they would view an air conditioning technician, meaning to say the following. An air conditioning technician happens to know how to fix air conditioning, and a Talmud Chacham knows halacha. So here's the point. I'm not going to ask my air conditioning guy about, you know, what school I should send my kids or whatever it is. That's not his expertise. The Talmud Chacham knows what happens. Not every Talmud Chacham knows, but most would know what happens if a milchik spoon falls into a fleishik sink. Meaning, they're good on technical matters, but they have nothing to say about the way I live my life, etc. So Chachmas HaTorah is this idea that there's a certain Chachma. Now again, this itself is an interesting issue. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky remarked many, many years ago that he decried the fact that the non-Hasidic world were becoming like Hasidim, in which every single decision you make in your life, you have to check with Gadol. He says that's not good either. A person should foster some type of quality of independence of thought. Right? I'm not suggesting at all this notion of total dependence, but the notion that Torah gives a person more than the mere information that they absorb. This is called the Chochmas HaTorah. In fact, the Vilna Gaon even has a nice interpretation. He says that there's a Gemara that says, for the first 40 years of your life, eat more than you drink. And after 40, drink more than you eat. Besides the dietary recommendation, which may have some validity even on that level, the Vilna Gaon says eating is a metaphor for the amassing of Torah knowledge. Meaning, until you're 40, the job is learn. Don't opine on the state of the world and the like. But after 40 years of stuffing yourself, so to speak, with Torah knowledge, you're able to drink, and he says drinking means wine. Wine is a reference to a wisdom about life, etc. Okay, so that's pshat number one. And really, it's not relevant to what I want to talk about. Pshat number two is what's relevant, but it's an interesting pshat in and of itself. Pshat number two of the Vilna Gaon, which is relevant to our situation, is O's strength is a reference to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Hadar, beauty, is a reference to Sukkos. I'll come back to it. And the Yom Acharon is a reference to Shmini Atzeres. And therefore, what is it saying? Oz, strength, is a term that is often used vis-a-vis a melech that is judging his people. Strength connotes authority, rulership, malchus, memshala. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, although they are days of mercy, we stand before God and we are being judged whether we deserve to have life, a second chance. Therefore, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which are Yemei Din, our primary service of Hashem is yira, awe, reverence, pachat. It is avodah meyira, and that is connected with the word oz, God's strength, God's majesty, God's power. Now, Sukkos is called in the Torah, or at least one of the elements, the word hadar is used. Remember, l'kachtam lachem? You shall take on the day of Sukkos, pre-Eitz Hadar, the fruit of a beautiful tree, or the beautiful fruit of a tree. That's, of course, the Esrog. And that is why there's a special inyan to look for a beautiful Esrog, pre-Eitz Hadar. So the association of beauty and Sukkos is made in the Torah itself with pre-Eitz Hadar. But here, if Oz connotes serving God out of Yira, Hadar connotes serving God out of love. Because when you do more than you have to, when you do a mitzvah beautifully, when you act out of Yira, you do whatever you need to do not to get punished. You do as little as you need to do. But when you serve Hashem out of love, Hidur mitzvah, the general idea of doing a mitzvah with beauty is connected to service out of love. Service out of yira is not going to involve hidur mitzvah, because if my motivation is I don't want to get in trouble, so I'll get by whatever I'm yotzei with. But when I serve because I love Hashem, I want to do it in as beautiful a way as I can. I want to go beyond the halacha. And therefore, the Vilna Gaon's comment is that we start Tishrei with a foundation of yira, Avodah Meira, and then we move to the higher Madrega of serving God out of love. And of course, service out of love is connected to joy, which is why Sukkot is Siman Simchatenu. And then we are given the greatest gift of joy, which is the Yom Acharon, which is Shmini Atzeret. Again, Shmini Atzeret, in fact, it's a famous point. You know, the Torah talks about a holiday called Shmini Atzeret, but it actually does not give you a commandment of Simcha. The commandment of Simcha is written by Sukkot, but in one of the references to Sukkot, it says, V'hayisa ach sameach, you shall only be happy. And the word ach is an extra word. So the Gemara explains, oh, that extra word says we have to include Shmini Atzeres in Simcha. So the Mefarshim all ask Akasha, wait a second here. Ach only is always a limitation or exclusion. You don't use ach to include something. How can I use ach to include something extra? So the Vilna Gaon says very beautifully, ach is an exclusion. V'yisa ach sameach. The only thing mitzvah I'm giving you is simcha. So here's the Gemara's logic. That can't be a reference to Sukkot, because Sukkot has other mitzvos, lulav and esrog and sukkah. So what day can only have the commandment of simcha? Shmini Atzeres. There is no, other than general Hilchos Yom Tov, the only commandment you have on Shmini Atzeres is simcha. That's the only commandment. And the Vilna Gaon says, that comes from Ava. You've moved from Yira to Ava, and from Ava you come to the greatest, greatest simcha of Shmini Atzeres. That's called the Yom Acharon. And then the Vilna Gaon kabbalistically shows that all of this is connected to the final Geula HaAsida. The Geula, it's a complicated process. It deserves actually a whole course of its own. The Geula begins on Pesach, just like Yetziat Mitzrayim. But the Beis HaMikdash does not get rebuilt until Sukkot. So Sukkot is actually the Zaman of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, but Shmini Atzeres is an intensification of the Mikdash in terms of Hashem's special relationship to the Jewish people. Because the Beis HaMikdash on one level is universal. It belongs to the whole world. Right? We say, Ki Beisi Beis Tefilah Yikarei L'chol HaAmim, my house, Hashem says, shall be a house of prayer for all of the nations. So Sukkot, which has 70 bulls for the Umot HaOlam, and the Beis HaMikdash, which is Beis Tefilah L'chol HaAmim, but then comes Shmini Atzeres, which is Hashem's unique relationship with Am Yisrael, and that's Vatischak L'Yom HaAcharon. We will have the last lap. It's reminiscent of what Rav Hirsch said, that Sarah called her son, right? Sarah called her son Yitzchak. Now, the simple meaning of the pasuk was that since she laughed when she got the news, but Yitzchak literally means he will laugh. So Rav Hirsch says that is a remez to the Geula HaAsida, that in spite of all of the suffering that we will go through, at the very end, our mouths will be filled with laughter, as Shir HaMaalos says, Oz Yimalei Sechok Pinu, and that is Yitzchak, and that is referring to the Jewish people in the feminine, Vatischak L'Yom Acharon. So Shmini Atzeres, says the Gra, is a remez to the final and greatest stage of the Geula, where Hashem does have a mikdash for the whole world, but there's the uniqueness of a relationship with Am Yisrael. Okay, so this was a thought of the Gra on Oz V'Hadar Levusha V'Tischak L'Yom HaAcharon, that we progress from Yira to Ava to Simcha to the celebration of the unique relationship that Hashem has with Am Yisrael. So in this connection, of course, we're leaving the Chagim. We've left the Chagim already. and we're entering a new month. So let me share with you a thought from Rav Tzadok, that Rav Tzadok points out, you know, the earliest Kabbalistic work that we have is Sefer Yetzira. Sefer Yetzira is the book of creation, and according to some, it was authored by Avraham Avinu. According to others, it goes all the way back to Adam HaRishon. And Sefer Yetzira is a book, you can even get it in English, you even get it online, but it wouldn't make a lot of sense to us, how Hashem combined the different spiritual forces of the Aleph Beis to create the universe. You know, Mark Twain, who was at least an agnostic, if not an atheist, once wrote a sarcastic description of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And he tells the following vignette. He made up the story. He says, you know, Adam named all the animals yesterday. And Chava asks him, this is Mark Twain, why did you call that thing a lion anyway? So Adam gets upset at his wife, and he says, what are you bothering me? It looks exactly like a lion. What else am I supposed to call it? Now, obviously, that's a sarcastic joke. But if instead of lion, we put in the word Aryeh, Adam's answer is exactly correct. This is a very important idea in Kabbalah. The Ramban writes, why is Hebrew called Lashon HaKodesh? What is so holy about Hebrew? Rambam, Maimonides, says, oh, Hebrew is a very holy language because in at least biblical Hebrew, there are no words for that we would call obscene or pornographic. Words for sexuality or for human waste are all euphemisms. They are not direct terms. And even in modern Hebrew, if we have what you might call dirty language, that's largely imported from Arabic. But Hebrew itself, the Rambam says, does not have any obscenities. Now that's a negative reason, meaning it's holy because it doesn't have anything bad. Ramban, Nachmanides, doesn't like that reason. And Nachmanides says, no. Hebrew is Lashon HaKodesh because it is through the letters and words of Lashon HaKodesh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the universe. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. Hashem did not say an English word, let there be light. He said, Yehi Or. Lashon HaKodesh is the vocabulary through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the universe. And the way Kabbalah explains it in the Sefer Yetzirah is each letter represents a channeling of a particular spiritual power. And when those powers are combined in certain sequences, they give rise to certain concretizations. Just like when you take two molecules of hydrogen and connect them with one molecule, or one atom rather, of oxygen, you will get water. No, two atoms, right? So too, the Aleph has a power and the Resh has a power. You combine them, you get certain things. So consequently, when Adam HaRishon named the animals, he did not make up a name. Rather, through X-ray vision, so to speak, he did a reverse engineering. He was able to see the spiritual DNA of a lion. And the spiritual DNA of a lion is the mixing of the spiritual forces of Aleph, Resh, Yud, Hey, that sequence produces a lion. Looked at a rock, oh, the rock is an aleph and a beis and a nun. So Mark Twain is exactly right. Adam called it a lion because it is a lion. It was a lion, an Aryeh, even before Adam named. Adam did not make up any names. Adam is identifying what something's essence is. So going back to Sefer Yetzirah, that's really what Sefer Yetzirah is about. And in fact, it is brought down that there were righteous people who were able to use the formulas of Sefer Yetzirah to create golem, artificial man. Some say the Maral created a golem. That probably is not true, but that's the most famous golem. The Gemara itself records that there were Tanoim who would create a cow through Sefer Yetzirah that they would shecht and eat on Shabbos. So there was such a concept. Rav Yaakov Emden discusses whether a golem that is created through Sefer Yetzirah, could he count for a minion or not? Now remember, golems cannot talk. It's interesting because talking comes from the divine soul. The golem does not have a divine soul. That's why the golem cannot talk. Again, with respect to the Maral, I don't want to get into that. That's a whole other story. The golem of the Maral is a very, very famous story. But what's interesting is the Maral died in the 1500s, the late 1500s. And the very first reference we have to the Maral's golem was not until the 1800s, in which somebody claimed they discovered a lost book, which he could never produce, which talks about the golem and the like. And unfortunately, that somebody had a reputation for being a forger with respect to other things. So the story is almost totally not true. Although, if you visit Prague and you go to the Maral Shul, they will tell you in the locked attic of the shul is the decommissioned golem that is dormant, and there are different stories about the Nazis opening it up, and the golem kind of, you know, got woken up and killed him. But as I say, you can't believe every story. On the other hand, somebody once said, if you believe these stories are true, you're a fool. But if you believe they couldn't be true, you're an apikoros. So one can believe the Maral could have made a golem if he wanted, but whether he actually did, we're not sure. Okay. Now, why am I bringing in Sefer Yetzirah? For the following idea. One of the things that Sefer Yetzirah does, it goes through the 12 months of the year. And for every month of the year, it connects it to a letter. Now, interestingly enough, the letter doesn't have to be in the month. So it's not connecting it to the word. That's a, but it connects it to a letter. And it connects the letter to a human sense, whether it be smell, sight, hearing, taste. And it says, this month emerged out of a conjunction of the letter and the human sense. And it does this for every one of the months of the year. And Rav Tzadok commonly, for every time there's Rosh Chodesh, he addresses this for every month of the year. But for Cheshvan, here is the combination that is mentioned in Sefer Yetzirah. Hashem took the letter Nun, which happens to appear in Cheshvan. He combined it with Reyach. Now, Reish does not appear in Cheshvan, but he took Nun and he combined it with Reyach. And out of the conjunction of Nun and Reyach came the month of Cheshvan. So this is a bit of an obscure statement. What is the connection between Nun and Reyach and Cheshvan? So here's what Rav Tzadok explains very, very beautifully. We know that the letter Nun connotes the idea of nefilah, falling down, being defeated. We know this from a famous Gemara, a famous statement of Rabbi Yochanan, that if you look at Tehillim Kuf Mem Hei, Tehillah LeDavid, that we commonly call Ashrei, although it's interesting, Ashrei is actually not part of that chapter. That chapter begins Tehillah LeDavid Aramimcha Hashem. But the capital that we call Ashrei, as everybody knows, is an alphabetical acrostic. Right? The first verse is Aleph, the second verse is Beis. But there is no verse beginning with the letter Nun. We go from Mem, Malchuscha, Malchus Kol Olamim, to Samach, Samech Hashem L'chol Anoflim. So the obvious question Rav Yochanan raises, why does Ashrei not have a verse that begins with the letter Nun? So Rav Yochanan answers, because Nun is a remez to Nefilah, as it says in Amos, Nafla lo seisif kum, talking about the Jewish people. She shall fall and she shall not get up again. And David HaMelech did not want to begin a pasuk with a connotation of nefilah. Therefore, he skipped the nun, and he only mentions nefilah in connection with the next verse, Someich Hashem l'chol hanoflim. Hashem supports those who fall. By the way, the Gemara itself on that pasuk, Nafla loisaisif kum, she shall fall, she will not get up again. The Gemara says that in Eretz Yisrael, they punctuated the pasuk a little differently. It all depends where you put your commas. Instead of saying, Nafla, comma, she has fallen, lo sosif kum, she won't get up again, they read it this way, Nafla lo sosif, she will no longer fall again, kum, arise. Right, so it all depends whether you're an optimist or a pessimist. But Rav Yochanan interpreted David HaMelech as looking at that pasuk in a negative way, therefore there's no nun in Ashrei. So, based on that, nun, now the truth of the matter is this is actually a difficult Gemara, because there are a number of alphabetical acrostics in Tehillim besides Ashrei. And in quite a few of them, there is a nun. In other words, it is absolutely not a general rule that we always leave out the nun. Most of the time we include the nun. But be it as it may, in this particular one, he left out the nun. So nun is nefilah. Says Rav Tzadok, of all of the months of the year, Cheshvan is the month that we are most prone to experience nefilah. Because we had in the month of Tishrei, Chag Achar Chag, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, and Shmini Atzeres. And we experience Yirat Hashem and Avat Hashem. And all of a sudden, the adrenaline stops. All of a sudden, there's nothing, so to speak, that's happening. There's an old famous vort, although it's historically not accurate, that the reason Cheshvan is called Mar Cheshvan is because it is the bitter month of Cheshvan. There are no Yomim Tovim. It's ordinary life. Again, historically, that is not the reason. Either Mar is connected to raindrops, the Navi Yishayo, or Mar Cheshvan was a Babylonian term, the whole word Mar Cheshvan. It wasn't two words. In fact, it's written as one word. In a Ksuva, for example, when you write Mar Cheshvan, it's not Mar Cheshvan. The name of the month is Mar Cheshvan. You write it as one word. But be it as it may, the folk thought is the bitter month of Cheshvan, the only month, well, that's another question, the only month without Yomim Tovim. Is it the only month? Well, not that's not quite true either. Okay, Kislev has Hanukkah, Teves has the end of Hanukkah, Shavat has Tu B'Shvat, you're stretching it already, but Tu B'Shvat we treat as a Chag, Adar is Purim, Nisan is Pesach, Iyar, Pesach Sheni, and if you're a Tzioni, Yom HaTzmaut, Sivan is Shavuos, Tammuz. The only holiday in Tammuz is the fast day of Tammuz, but we're told when Mashiach comes, that will become a festive day. Av, the 9th of Av, will become a festive day, and of course the 15th of Av is a very happy day. Elul actually does not have anything, but since it's such a preparation for the biggie, so we treat it as connected to Tishrei. But Cheshvan, nothing. Cheshvan is ordinary life, ordinary time. When a person has been through a pivotal experience and it's all gone, they can often get depressed. They can often kind of just regress into what they were before the Chagim. And they haven't really changed. That's nefilah, nun. But what is the antidote to nefilah? Right? Nefilah is the negative aspect of Cheshvan, is reyach. Now, what is reyach? Reyach, aroma, allows you to experience something, even though it's no longer physically present. Again, imagine you had a wonderful roast chicken or baking bread, right? That's what they say. I don't know if they do it here. They say in America, when you want to sell your house, always bake bread before the person. Right? Someone walks in and they smell the bread or the brownies. You know, it's very inviting, right? It makes a very positive impression. So, if you remember, I never read this book because it's a huge, huge novel. Proust, Remembrance of Things Past, whatever it is, like 5,000-page thing. But the one thing I do know is the whole book got stimulated by a person smelling something that reminded him of his childhood, and that triggered thousands of pages of recollections. So reyach is something that connects me to an experience, even when that experience is gone. So even though Cheshvan does not have chagim, but metaphysically, Cheshvan has the reyach of the chagim. And when that reyach is augmented, it augments the nun, it prevents the nefilah by allowing us to hold on and remember the pivotal, elevated nature of those experiences. Now, one might even say, with some hyperbole and exaggeration, that Cheshvan is the most important month of the year, because Cheshvan is the litmus test whether the Yomim Tovim have really changed us. Because we get inspired, but if we just become, now that we're back to ordinary life, how has it impacted on us? You know, they tell the story. Somebody once proposed a shidduch to Rabbi Saul Solander for someone, and he said, this boy is so mitsuyan that he's gone through shas several times. So Rabbi Saul Solander reputedly asked the person, it's nice that he's gone through shas, but how many times has shas gone through him? Meaning, has it changed him? So too, we've gone through a Yom Tov, but have the Yomim Tovim gone through us? Have we been changed? Are we growing? All of those New Year's resolutions, Lahavdil, which even exist in the secular world for January 1st, and certainly a Yid, a Jew, has Kabbalos and resolutions. Are we still willing to go through with them and live up to commitments? That's really the test. So Hashem basically gives us all of this special time and then takes it away and says, okay, now you're back to regular, ordinary life, which is really never ordinary. All of life is miraculous. All of life is a gift. And of course, we still have the gift of Shabbos Kodesh, no matter what. That's another thing that we never go without. But nevertheless, it's more ordinary than Tishrei was. But that's the ultimate test. The Chazon Ish used to give a mashal like this. He says, even a pot that is half empty will overflow when it's on a fire. So the fact that it overflows when it's on a fire doesn't really tell me how full it is. So too, a person that overflows with inspiration when he's in the heat and the passion of holy time, that doesn't really say how much of it has entered his heart. It's only when he's off the fire, we can see if it's a full pot. Does it go to the top, or does it go to the middle, or is it half empty, etc. And that's kind of the message that we have to take. Therefore, Cheshvan is to understand the holiness of the everyday, of the mundane, of the regular, to understand that the real test of a Yom Tov is how it transforms the life that comes after the Yom Tov. Okay, and that is kind of the message of Cheshvan. Let me mention just very quickly another thought of the Vilna Gaon, which overlaps a little bit, but it's really quite a distinct thought. And this goes back to the Amidah. In the Amidah, in the first bracha, we say, Melech Ozer Umoshia Umogain. There are four terms here. Melech, Ozer, Moshia, Mogain. The king, who is Ozer, who helps, Moshia, who saves, Mogain, who protects. Baruch Ata Hashem Mogain Avraham. So the Vilna Gaon says that in the Amidah that is recited three times a day, There's actually a remez to the Chagim as well, but in a different way. In Mishle, the remez of Oz v'Hadar Levusha was to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and Shmini Atzeres. This is a different dichotomy. Here's what the Gemara says in the Bior HaTfila. Melech is a remez to Rosh Hashanah when we proclaim Hashem as Melech, right? Rosh Hashanah is the coronation day of Hashem as Melech. Ozer, Hashem is our helper, is Aseres Yemei Tshuva. This is what he brings in. Because it is described in the Gemara that Tshuva would be impossible without Hashem actively helping us. Because the Yetzer Hara is so strong that Ilmalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro, without Hashem helping me, Lo Yochol Lo, I would not be able to be victorious. So Melech is the proclamation of Malchus on Rosh Hashanah. Ozer, Hashem is my helpmate, my assistant, my helper, is Aseres Yemei Tshuva, because without a Kadosh Baruch Hu's help, I would never have the strength to do tshuva. Moshiach, the difference between Ozer u Moshiach is Ozer is when I'm doing some of the work and somebody is helping me. Moshiach is somebody who saves me without me doing anything. He says that refers to Yom Kippur. Because the way it works is the following. A person works as hard as they can to do tshuva, but there may come a point at which they literally cannot get themselves over. So at some point, Hashem does take over the whole job. That as long as you did as much as you could, Hashem will stop being just your Ozer and will literally be your Moshiach. In fact, there's a word from the Chassam Sofer. You know, there's a famous statement of Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah in Maseches Yuma, and many people sing this song on Simchas Torah. Ashreichem Yisrael, happy are you, Yisrael. Lifnei mi atem mitaharim. In front of whom do you purify yourselves? Umi mitahar eschem. And who is the one that purifies you? And the answer Rabbi Akiva gave was, Avichem Shabashamayim, your Father in heaven. But the Chassam Sofer raises the question, what is the apparent redundancy? Lifnei me, in front of whom do you purify yourself? And who is the one that purifies you? What is the need to express the question in two different ways? So the Chassam Sofer says, B'derech Drush, a beautiful point. The gematria of me, Mem Yud, is 50. We are told that there are 50 levels of impurity. Remember, the Jewish people were on the 49th level of impurity. If they would have hit level 50, they would have been irredeemable. They wouldn't have had the capacity to pull themselves out of the mud. So listen to the Chassam Sofer. Lifnei me, before you reach the 50th level, Atem mitaharim, you have the power to purify yourself. Umi, but what happens if you hit level 50? Mitaher eschem, God will still purify you. And therefore the Vilna Gaon says, the koach of Yom Kippur even extends to people who are on the 50th level of Tumah. On the 50th level of Tumah, Hashem is not only the Ozer, in which he's helping me pull myself out of the mud. He is the Moshiach. Now again, I have to want, but if I want, he will pull me out legamre. Right? So Melech, Ozer, u'Moshiach. We then come to Magen. So Magen, the Vilna Gaon says, is a remez to Hoshana Rabba, not Shmini Atzeres, Hoshana Rabba. And the difference between Magen and Moshiach is Moshiach and Ozer, a person knows they're in danger and they get either help or they get a savior. Magen is when you're protected from things that you didn't even know you were facing. Meaning, they say, L'hav L'sein Eretz Yisrael, that for every terrorist event that occurs, there are 20 to 25 that were nipped in the bud. Things we don't even know about. And there's a famous fort, either from the Netziv or Rav Chaim of Elazhin. They say it in two ways. It says in Hallel, Hallelu es Hashem kol goyim. Give praise to Hashem, all of the nations. Ki gavar oleinu chasto. Because Hashem's kindness was great on us. Now, on us means the Jewish people. So it's a non sequitur. Why should the nations of the world praise God? Because God was kind to us? So the word is, because only the nations of the world know what they were planning to do to us. We don't even know. They know. And therefore, they know more than us how much kindness Hashem has shown us. And therefore, the Vilna Gaon says, Hoshana Rabbah, he doesn't fully explain how, is a remez to the idea that we don't even know the Chastei Hashem. Ozer Umoshia, we know we have tzaras, and Hashem helps us out of the tzaras. But what about all of the things that might have happened, that could have happened, that didn't happen? That's not an accident. That's also a hashkacha that Hashem was looking out for us. As Chazal say, Ein bal hanes makir es niso. Sometimes the person that benefits from a miracle doesn't even know that the miracle happens. And therefore, in the Amida, we're meramez to these four stages of Melech, Ozer, Moshiach, Magen, Hashem as Melech, Hashem as the helper in our tshuva process, Hashem as our Moshiach, even if we're on the 50th level of Tumah, and finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doing tovos for us that we don't even realize that he's done. So I want to wish you all a good Chodesh and a good year, and maybe a year of growth and shalom and goodness for